ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹாம். ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹா. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாத்தோ பிரம்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹா. சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத். சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். ஃபஸ்ட் சாப்டர் தேர்ட் பாதம் த்யுப்வாததிகரணம் த்யுப்வாத்யாயதனம் ஸ்வசப்தாத் முக்தோபசிருப்ய வ்யபதேசாத் ந அனுமானம் அதச்சப்தாத் பிராணபிருச்சம் பேதவ்யபதேசாத் பிரகரணாத் தித்யதனாப்யாஞ்ச. பூமாதிகரணம் பூமாசம்பிரசாதாத் அத்யுபதேசாத் தர்மோபபத்தேஷ்ச. அக்ஷராதிகரணம் அக்ஷரமம்பராந்தர்த்ருதேஹே சாச பிரசாசனாத் அந்யபாவவ்யாவ்ருத்தேஷ்ச. ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாத் சஹா. தஹராதிகரணம் தஹர உத்தரேப்யஹ கதிசப்தாப்யாம் ததாஹி த்ரஷ்டம் லிங்கஞ்ச. ருதேஷ்ச மஹிம்னஹ அஸ்ய அஸ்மின் உபலப்தேஹ பிரசித்தேஷ்ச. இதர பராமர்ஷாத் சகிதி சேத் நாசம்பவதி. உத்தராச்சேத் ஆவிர்பூத ஸ்வரூபஸ்து அன்யார்த்தஸ்ச பராமர்ஷஹ அல்பஸ்ருதேரிதி சேத் ததுக்தம். அனுக்ருத்யதிகரணம் அனுக்ருதேஸ்தஸ்ய ச அபி ச ஸ்மர்யதே. பிரமிதாதிகரணம் சப்தாதேவ பிரமிதஹ ஹ்ருத்யபதேக்ஷயாது மனுஷ்யாதிகரத்வாத் மனுஷ்யாதிகாரத்வாத். தேவதாதிகரணம் ததுபர்யபி பாதராயணஹ சம்பவாத் விரோதஹ கர்மணீதி சேத் அநேக பிரதிபத்தேஹே தர்ஷனாத். சப்த இதி சேத் ந அத பிரபவாத் பிரத்யக்ஷ அனுமானாப்யாம். அத ஏவ ச நித்யத்வம் சமான நாம ரூபத்வாத் ச ஆவ்ருத்தௌ அபி அவிரோதஹ தர்ஷனா ஸ்மிருதே ச. மத்வாதிஷு அசம்பவாத் அநாதிகாரம் ஜெய்மினிஹி. So in these sutras, Vyasacharya establishes that there is no problem regarding the validity of the Vedas by accepting the embodiment of devatas. Devatas have body and rupa. And in the last sutra, namely sutra number 30th of the third pada, first chapter, 93rd running Brahma Sutra, சமான நாம ரூபத்வாச்ச ஆவ்ருத்தௌ அபி அவிரோதஹம் தர்ஷனா ஸ்மிருதே ச. இட் வாஸ் எஸ்டாப்ளிஷ்ட் தட் தெர் இஸ் நோ கான்ட்ரடிக்ஷன் அவிரோதஹ வித் ரெஸ்பெக்ட் டு வேலிடிட்டி ஆஃப் வேத இன் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் சிருஷ்டி ஆல்சோ சின்ஸ் இண்டிவிஜுவல் நாம ரூபா இஸ் சேம் ஆஸ் சப்போர்ட்டட் பை ஸ்ருதி அண்ட் ஸ்மிருதி பிரமாணாஸ் தட் இஸ் இன் தி லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். தெர்ஃபோர் இந்திராஸ் எம்பாடிமெண்ட் the form, the body of Indra is accepted, and therefore Indra has got the right to study Vedas. Now another Purva Mimamsaka, he comes, who wants to establish that devatas do not physically exist. This is the essence of this adhikaranam that we have already seen earlier. So Vedantins, they want to establish that the devatas physically exist, and actually we saw three objections already. Number one, in Sutra 27, the Purva Mimamsaka said, the Purva Mimamsaka is the Purva Pakshi here. And interestingly, Jaimini is Purva Mimamsaka, who is also a Purva Pakshi. So karma virodha problem that was brought out, that was already refuted also. And in Sutras 28, 29 and 30, the Purva Mimamsaka said that the problem is Veda Pramanya virodha. And that was also refuted. And now another problem is introduced by the Purva Pakshi. And before, in a previous context, we said that devatas are not qualified for karmakanda. They have no right to do rituals, especially the Vaidika karmas, the yagas and all those things. And the reason what was given at that time was, the very yaga means offering oblations to the devatas. Therefore, in every yaga, devatas are in the receiving end and the manushyas are in the giving end. Therefore, the primary condition for yaga is what? Devata should be a bhokta. And therefore, if devatas themselves become kartas of yagas, where will be the bhoktas then? Therefore, they can be receivers and not givers of oblations, ahutis. And so they cannot do rituals. That was the reason given. So this is the conclusion of the Purva Mimamsaka. But the Advaitins, they do not want to argue with them. Now the Purva Mimamsaka wants to argue here that because of the same reason, devatas cannot do upasanas also. It is also irrelevant for the devatas. That is their contention. And because of the same reason, namely that in all the upasanas, the devatas are objects of upasana. They are the upasya devatas. That is why we use the term upasya devata also for them. Indra, Varuna, all those things. Imam me varuna shruti havam adhyaja mrudayam twama vasyurachake tatvayami brahmana vandamanaha. In Sandhya Vandana mantras, we recite these prayers for Varuna devata. And in the morning, the prayer for Mitra Devata. Mitra Devata is Surya Devata. Mitrasya charshani dhritasravo devasya sanasim. Therefore, devatas are objects of upasana and they can never be subject of upasanas. It is their argument. Now, the Purupakshi says, in Vedanta also, there are many upasanas. In Taittiriya Upanishad, the entire Sikshavalli is full of upasanas. Bhrigavalli is full of upasanas. So also in Chandogya Upanishad, the first five chapters, they are full of upasanas only. In Brihadaranyaka also, we saw upasanas strewn all over the entire Upanishad. Therefore, the Purvapakshi, he argues, Vedanta contains upasanas also, Upanishads have. And devatas cannot do upasanas, and therefore, devatas cannot study Vedanta. That is their contention. They are not adhikaris for Vedanta. This is the Purupaksha, which is raised here in this discussion. And Vyasacharya gives one upasana as an example. And that upasana we have already seen in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in Chandogya Upanishad. This is called Madhu Vidya. Madhu Vidya that occurs in the third chapter. In the first section, the very first sutra of Chandogya says, Asavva Adityaha Deva Madhu. Asavva Adityaha Deva Madhu. Meditate upon that Aditya Devata as a source of happiness. Madhu. For the Devatas, Deva Madhu. So Madhu means source of happiness. Sukha Hetuho. And Madhu literally means honey. And honey is widely accepted by all as Sukha Hetu. Because taking honey, you enjoy honey. So Deva Madhu means Devanam Madhu. That is the honey for all of them. And it is Aditya Deva. Aditya is that. And therefore, meditate upon Surya Bhagavan as the source of happiness. Here Madhu means source of happiness. This is one type of upasana that was given. And this example of upasana, Vyasacharya gives here. Madhu Adishu. In the sutra, he said Madhvadishu. Madhvadishu means it is Madhu Adishu. Madhu and etc. And we will come to the word meaning later only, but we are just only general answers we are doing. And therefore, his inference is what? Brahma Vidya na Devata Vishayaha. So, Vidya Atvade Madhu Vidyavate. That is his thing. Brahma Vidya is not relevant for Devatas because it is also a Vidya like Madhu Vidya. Since Devatas cannot resort to Madhu Vidya, they cannot resort to Brahma Vidya also. This is the question Purupakshi raised by Jaimini Maharishi here. That is why his name is also said in the sutra. In the sutra, Vyasacharya even includes Jaimini's name. Here the entire sutra is Purupaksha Sutra. And the answer, it is going to come not here, but in 33rd sutra only. So 31st sutra and 32nd sutras are both Purupakshi sutras. The only questions are there. and answers are not. So in both the sutras, only questions are asked. No answer is given. It is going to be given in 33rd sutra. And this is the objection in general. Now let us go to the word meaning. The sutra consists four words. What are the words? Madhvadishu, asambhavat, anadhikaram, jaiminihi. So madhvadishu, asambhavat, anadhikaram, jaiminihi. And we have to supply two words. What are those words? Devanam anadhikaram. And we have to supply the verb badati. So verb also we have to see. So jaiminihi, devanam anadhikaram badati. What is the meaning for that? Jaiminihi means Jaimini Maharishi. Badati, he talks about or he asserts devanam anadhikaram, the disqualification of devatas, the unfitness of devatas. With respect to what? Vedante or Brahma Vidyaya, for Vedanta study, Vedantic study. So the final meaning is what? Jaimini asserts, Maharishi Jaimini asserts the disqualification of devatas with respect to study of Brahma Vidya. And what is the reason? Asambhavat. Because of their incapability with respect to what? Madhvadishu, with respect to Madhu Vidya and etc. So here Madhu Vidya means Surya Upasana. Here it refers to, we already said, Devana Madhu was given as Surya Devata. So Surya Upasana, Madhu Vidya refers to Surya Upasana. So what is the final analysis now? Devatas cannot do meditation of Surya, etc., because the object of meditation is Devata itself. And therefore, subject of meditation also cannot be Devata. And therefore, Devatas are incapable with respect to Madhu Vidya. And therefore, they cannot study Vedanta, Brahma Vidya. And why Vyasacharya has chosen Madhu Vidya here? He has chosen, because there are so many upasanas. He has chosen an upasana which occurs in the Upanishads. He has not taken the example from Karmakanda, because this is where the point of difference between the Purvapakshi Purvamimamsa Kandas. If he takes the upasana from the Upanishad itself, then he cannot contest us. If he takes from Karmakanda, he can. One can easily say, no need to do Karmakanda at all. We want to go to Jnanam. Then why are we talking about Karmakanda? People can ask, argue. So he has chosen one upasana from the Upanishadic portion itself, namely the Madhu Vidya. By that, what does he accomplish? The Upanishads are full of upasanas. Devatas cannot do upasanas. Therefore, they should not study the Upanishads. This is the objection of Purvamimamsaka. So Madhvadishu, Madhu Vidya, Adishu means etc. All those Vidyas like that. Therefore, that etc. should refer to some more upasanas. What is that? We can supply some more upasanas ourselves. And Shankaracharya says in Chandogya Upanishad, fourth chapter, third section, Vayur Vava Sambargaha. It is Vayu Upasana given. Vayu as the destroyer of everything. So in one form or the other. And devatas are the objects of meditation and they are not subjects of meditation. So what is our answer now? It is given in the Sutra 33. We are going to see later. We will only now see the objection. Now this is one objection given in this sutra. And now we will go to the next sutra, which gives another objection. Sutra 32 of third pada first chapter, 95th running Brahma Sutra. Jyotishi Bhavacham. Again, another objection is raised by the Purvamimamsaka. And they say, devatas do not have any physical form. So devatas are not there according to them. They have no physical form, so they are not there. And not only that, there are many people who do not want to accept heaven, hell and all that thing at all. Swarga, Naraka and all. No, many people do not want to even accept that. They say they are all only symbolic. When there is problem all over, they say it is Narakam, right? We ourselves say, my house is like Narakam. My God, so many things, problems are that people say. When everything is fine, we say, like it's very heavenly, like Manasarovara. They go to that place, it's very heavenly. Therefore, there are many people who say that heaven and Narakam or hell do not physically exist. They are only symbolic. So whenever a person says like this, he is not Advaitin, but he is a Purva Mimamsaka, according to us. And not only they reject heaven and hell, they even say that devas and asuras are not there. And they are also symbolic. Therefore, they negate all mythology in the form of symbolism. Swami Dayananda Saraswati does not favor these two arguments too much because it is not Advaitic view. Swami Dayananda Saraswati, he doesn't favor both of these arguments. It is Purva Mimamsaka's view, presenting everything symbolically. We can present symbolically, all right, but it should not be the dismissal of Shastra teaching. According to Shastras, devatas exist physically. But here the Purva Mimamsaka says, why do you talk about Aditya Devata physically existing? Aditya Devata, the inert sun alone, symbolized as Devata. There is no Surya Devata at all. Who says? Purva Pakshi, Purva Mimamsaka. Therefore, all the prayer, etc., you think you are addressing to Surya Devata, there is no such Devata at all. Then what is sun? It is just an inert source of energy. Similarly, Chandra Devata also, it does not exist. Then what exists? Chandra, the moon, exists. Therefore, all the devatas refer to what? Jyotishi Bhavat. All the devatas are luminaries in the sky. Other than the visible sun, there is no sentient Surya Devata at all. Other than the inert moon, there is no sentient Chandra Devata also. Same about the nakshatras. Therefore, picturization as living being should be taken only as symbolism or arthavada and not literal. They are achetana vastu. They are not sentient. None of the chetana vastus, you know, they can do namaskara. None of the chetana vastus can do namaskara. How can they do rites, etc.? How can they do shravanadikam and gain jnanam and liberation? All these other achetana vastus. How can they do shravanadikam and gain jnanam? Therefore, this Purva Mimamsaka negates all sentient devatas. This is the second Purva Paksha. So, Jyotishi Bhavacha, that is the sutra. Now, we have to go for the word meaning and our reply also. And there are three words, Jyotishi, Bhavat, and Cha. And we have to complete the sentence also grammatically. Complete the sutra by adding a few words. What are the words? Devata shabdanam, devatanam brahma vidyayam adhikaraha nasti. So what will be the final sutra now? If you rearrange the sutra, it will be devata shabdanam, jyotishi bhavacham, devatanam brahma vidyayam adhikaraha nasti. Now let us take each word and see the meaning completely. Let us take the first, the supplied words, because we supply a lot of words. First supplied was devata shabdana. The word, shabda means words, not sound. The words revealing devatas. So devata pratipadaka shabdana mityartaha. Like what? Aditya shabdaha. The word Aditya, Chandra, Nakshatra, Agni, all those words. All these are called devata shabdaha. And here shabdaha means, as I told you, word, not sound. Then bhavat. Bhavaha means operation or function. It has got several meanings, and in this context, it is taken as operation or function, bhavat. And bhavat is actually fifth case, panchami vibhakti, and it refers to the reason. So because of the operation of our function, and then the next word is what? Jyotishi. Jyotishi refers to the jyotis, the luminaries, shining objects, namely the sun, the moon, the stars, lightning, fire. Oh yeah, take all these five. Natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto ayam agnihi. All these five are mentioned there. Suryaha, Chandraha, Tarakas, and then Vidyut, lightning and Agni. All these five, that's why we took all the five here as examples. And what is the common factor in all the luminaries? Inertness. They are all inert. Therefore, we can translate Jyotish as inert luminary. And Jyotishi is again Vishayasaptami, we already told earlier. Therefore, we can translate it as what? In the field of inert luminaries. In the field of inert luminary. Therefore, if you join these three words, what will be the final meaning? Because of the operation of the words, revealing devatas or devata revealing words, whichever way you want to put it, in the field of inert luminaries, that is the literal translation. And if you want to put it in simple language that we can easily understand, since the world, sun, moon, etc. reveal only inert luminaries, that is a simple translation. Since the world, sun, moon, stars and all, they reveal only inert luminaries. Up to this is Hetu. Then come to the conclusion. What is the next word? Cha. Cha means also. And why also? Already in the previous sutra, one reason has been given. And now the second reason is being Hima. So the previous reason was what? Madhvadishum asambhavat. And now Jyotishi bhavacha. So also. That's why also is of cha is put. Then what is the next word? Devatanam Brahma Vidyayam Adhikaraha Nasti. Devatas do not have eligibility in the pursuit of Brahma Vidya. This is the final sutra. With this, the Purva Paksha Purva Mimamsaka argument is over. Now let us go to the Siddhanta's view in the 33rd sutra. So we have got both the objections in slokas 31 and 32. Now 33 is going to be the answer. Bhavam tu badarayanaha asti. This is the 33rd sutra, third pada, first chapter, 96th running Brahma Sutra. And we will go to the general analysis of this sutra first. And this is the Siddhanta Sutra, as I told you, the answer to the objections raised in the previous two sutras by the Purva Mimamsaka. And interesting here thing is, Vyasacharya's answer is very simple, without giving any detail at all. He only asserts, he says, what you, the Purva Pakshi says, is not correct. That's all he says. That is, devatas are not eligible. That's what you are saying. That is not correct. They have eligibility. That is the assertion of Vyasacharya. The reason is that there is enough evidence or Vedic support for my conclusions. Who says? Vyasacharya says, asti. There are enough support. And what is the Vedic support? Shankaracharya elaborately discusses in his Bhashyam. In support of Vyasacharya's conclusion. Even though Vyasacharya did not mention it in the sutra, Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam, he gives all these reasons. He gives one Shruti statement from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, first chapter, fourth section, 10th mantra. Tad yoyo devanam pratyabudhyata sa eva tadabhavate tatharishinam. Tata manushyanam. This is the sutra. This is the mantra. And the essence of the mantra is what? Whoever gets Brahma Jnanam will become Brahman. That is fine. But what is most important for us in our discussion? Whether that person is a devata or manushya or rishi. Tata rishinam, tata manushyanam. Yo devanam pratyabudhyata. So they are also, Manushya and Rishi are not relevant for us here in this discussion. Whether one is a devata only is important because yaha yaha devanam. So Nirdharane Shashti is called. So devanam madhye yaha yaha praya buddhyaya buddhyata. Sa pratya buddhyata sa. So sa evam tadabhavate. Tad eva sa eva tadabhavate. Brahma Bhavati. Tada Bhavati. So here means Brahma Bhavati. So this is taken from the famous Brahma. This is called Brahma Khandika. This is called. Maybe I might have mentioned it during our Padananga discussion. So Brahma va idamagra asitim, tadatmanam eva avetim, aham brahmasmiti, tasmatim, tad sarvam abhavatim, tad yo devanam pratyabuddhyata. This is the mantra. This we have called at that time Brahmakantika during our Brihadaranyaka discussion. Therefore, Shruti very clearly says, Veda very clearly says that devas can gain Brahmajnanam by gaining self-knowledge. That means devas must be eligible to get liberation. And the next Shruti quotation is taken from Chandogya Upanishad, 8th chapter, 7th section, 2nd mantra. Where Indra and Virochana, if you remember the story, Indra and Virochana, they both go to Brahmaji to study Vedanta. Tauha prajapatiru vacha, sadbalankritau, suvasano, parishkritau, bhutvo, dasharave, avekshetamiti, tauha sadbalankritau, suvasano, parishkritau, bhutvo, dasharave, aveksham chakrave, tauha prajapatiru vacha, kim pashyata iti. Here we see that Indra and Virochana, they go to Brahmaji for gaining self-knowledge. And even if he discard the Virochana, the Asura Raja, Indra, he got self-knowledge. Through what? Through Avastatraya Viveka. He got self-knowledge through that. And this is quoted by Shankaracharya also. We can also see in Keno Upanishad also. Keno Upanishad in the fourth chapter, third mantra. Tasmadva Indro Atitarami Vanyan Devan Sahenan Nedishtam Pasparsha Sahenat Pratamo Vidanchakara Brahmeti. Indra got self-knowledge from Uma Devi. And other devatas followed suit like him. They also learned. Therefore, Shankaracharya has enough Vedic support to show that devatas are eligible. This is the general analysis. So now we will see the word analysis. And we have got, what are the words? Bhavam, Tu, Badarayanaha, Asti, and He. Five words. Bhavam, Tu, Badarayanaha, Asti, and He. And now we have to complete the sutra by adding three more words. So Devatanam, Adhikarasyam, and Adhikara Karana. These are the words we have to add. And now if you rearrange the sutra by using both the added words and the original words, Badarayanaha tu devatanam adhikarasya bhavam manyate. Manyate also we can add. And the next sentence is what? This is one sentence of the sutra. And the next sentence is, hi adhikara karanam asti. This is the final arrangement of the sutra. Now let us take each word and analyze. So Badarayanaha. Badarayanaha means Vyasacharya. Previously, word Jaimini was used, and he was the Sishya of Vyasacharya, and also Purvapakshi, Purvimamsaka, and all that. And Badarayana is the Guru, he is Vyasa, the Siddhanta. He is called Badarayanaha because Badaram Ayanam Yasya, in a Badari Vanam, in Badrinath, he did tapas. And so he is called Badarayanaha. And that is why Brahma Sutra is otherwise also called with another name. Badarayana Sutrani is also another name. Therefore, the author Badarayana refers to his own name in this sutra. Instead of saying, I consider like this, he could have very much said, I consider like this. But he did not. He said, Badarayana considers like this. If you remember a similar statement in Kathopanishad, Nachiketa said, Nanyam varam nachiketa vrinite. There also, he said, nachiketa vrinite. It means I am asking. And the next word is tu. Tu means however. Here, the significance of the word tu is purupaksha, it is vyavartakaha. Tu. To eliminate the purupaksha. That is the reason this word tu means to eliminate the purupaksha. That means even though Jaimini does not accept adhikara for devatas, however, that's what he says, however. Even though Jaimini has not accepted, however, means unlike Jaimini, Vyasacharya accepts eligibility. Therefore, the tu is for purvapaksham nirasartaha, to eliminate that, to condemn that or to negate that. And the next word is what? Manyate. Manyate means accepts. In this context, so however Vyasacharya he accepts what? Bhavam adhikarasya. Bhavam means the existence. In this context, it is bhavam means existence. In the last sutra, we said bhava means operation. If you remember, function, operation. Here, satta means the presence, astitvam, the existence. Existence of what? Adhikarasya, of eligibility, the right of the devatas. For what? That we take it from the previous sutra. Previous sutra says, it is the pursuit of Brahma Vidya. And that is what we have to take here to connect to that particular sutra to complete this particular objection, the reason. Then the word he means because Vyasacharya accepts the eligibility of devatas, and because adhikara karanam asti, because he refers to because there is evidence or there is Vedic support. And what is the Vedic support? The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, Keno Upanishad, all those vakyas, all those quotations that we gave. In fact, with this sutra part is over discussion. But Shankaracharya, he as usual continues further by giving more evidences. And what for? First, he gave evidence to prove that devatas have got eligibility to study Vedanta. And now on, he gives the Vedic support to show that devatas have got embodiment. They have got body, which gives them eligibility. In Sanskrit, first he said, adhikaraha asti. They have the right, they have the eligibilities to study Vedas. And then he says, adhikara karanam asti. So he elaborately establishes that devatas have got body and therefore they can go to Guru and study Vedanta. If they don't have body, where will they sit and learn? How they will go to the class? But before that, we have to do two more jobs also here. We cannot forget that Purvapaksha has given two reasons to say that devatas are ineligible. And this has to be negated. We have to negate that first. Therefore, Shankaracharya does that also in his commentary. Therefore, the two things are what? Number one, Purvapaksha's refutation. And number two, elaboration of the Vedic evidence. Both has to be done. Now, let us take the refutation, the objection by the Purvapaksha. Purvapaksha was given in Sutras 31 and 32 that we just saw. So, these two sutras are only objections by the Purvamimamsaka. In Sutra 31, the Purvapaksha was what? What Vedanta contains the different types of vidyas. This we know. Already we have seen earlier also. Upasana Rupa Vidya, Jnana Rupa Vidya. So Madhu Vidya, the Sambarga Vidya, Panchagni Vidya. All these things are what kind of vidyas? They are Upasana Rupa Vidyas. They are the form of Upasanas. And Vedanta is a mixture of both Upasana Vidya and Jnana Vidya. And since devatas cannot do upasana vidya, they cannot follow jnana vidya also. That is all their contention. This was the Purvapaksha. And why devatas cannot do upasana? They are not eligible for upasana because devatas themselves are objects of upasana. They are the upasya devatas. And how can they be subject of upasana also when they are the very object of upasanas? And therefore, they cannot do upasana vidya. And therefore, they cannot do jnana vidya also. For which Shankaracharya gives a very simple answer. These are all arguments of Purvapaksha. For which Shankaracharya gives a very simple answer. And what does he say? If devatas cannot do upasana vidya, let them drop those portions. They don't have to study them at all. Just because they are unfit for upasana rupa vidya, how can you say they are not eligible for jnana rupa vidya also? This is the question Shankaracharya asked the Purvapaksha. Partial ineligibility cannot prove total ineligibility. Therefore, they need not study Sikshavalli, Bhrigavalli and all that, but they can study Brahmanandavalli of Taittiriya. Who stops them? In Chandogya Upanishad, actually, they can omit the first five chapters. Actually, many students and even some teachers, they do not deal with the first five chapters at all. When I mentioned, when we were doing Chandogya, I was telling somebody that I am doing the third chapter or fourth chapter I was doing. Then the person was surprised. He asked me, why are you doing the first five chapters? They are all upasanas. So many people, those who study only the last three chapters of Chandogya, only they study, because they only deal with Upanishadic portion, the Vedanta portion. First five are only Upasana portions. Maybe they are the people who study the last three chapters of Chandogya only are Devatas. And people like us who want to go through all the eight chapters, we are all Manushyas, I think. Anyway, therefore Shankaracharya says, even though they may not be eligible for Upasana Rupa Vidya, they can happily be eligible for Brahma Vidya. And in support of this contention, Shankaracharya gives reasons, several reasons. And what are the reasons he says? Now let us take Karmakanda itself. Because Purva Mimamsaka is an expert in Karmakanda. That's why we are taking Karmakanda itself. In Karmakanda, is any person eligible for all rituals? Can we say, in Karmakanda, there are so many rituals given. Can we say, any person be eligible for all the rituals? No. Because the rituals are based on what? Varnashrama qualification, Varna Dharma, Ashrama Dharma. For example, if you take Rajasuya Yajna, it can be done by a Raja only. A Brahmana is ineligible to do a Rajasuya Yajna. Only a king, a Kshatriya only can do. But Brahaspati Savana Yajna, that is another ritual which can be done only by a Brahmana, not by Kshatriyas. And there is another karma called Vaisyastoma. That's the ritual can be done only by Vaishyas only, not a Brahmana. Similarly, Agnihotradi karmas, they can be done by a grahastha only. So all these people, everybody cannot do all the karmas. Only a grahastha can do the Agnihotradi karmas, and not by a brahmachari and even sannyasi. These are ashrama beda. So varna beda, ashrama beda, they are all there. And nobody is eligible for all karmas, all rituals. And if you are means the Purva Pakshi's argument is partial ineligibility proves total ineligibility, then no one can do Karmakanda at all. Which means we have to remove Karmakanda portion from the Veda completely. For that, what will be your answer? So let Brahmanas do those karmas for which Brahmana is eligible. This is called, you know, Yathadikara Anushtana. Whatever one is eligible for, let them do that anushtana. Whoever is eligible for whatever sadhana they are eligible for, let that person follow that particular sadhana. Swadharmem nidanam shreyaha paradharmam bhayavahaha. Krishna said, for a person to stay in his own swadharma, it will give him shreyas. Even actually, if he cannot do that, he can actually face death, but he should still be staying in his own swadharma. Paradharma is bhayavaha, even though it may look attractive, but it is bhayavaha. It is supposed to give fear. It is dangerous. Therefore, if yathadikara anushtana is your contention in the field of karmakanda, why cannot you extend the same anushtana nyaya in Vedanta also? That is what we are asking Purva Mimamsa. And what is that nyaya? Let manushyas follows both upasana vidya and brahma vidya, whereas let the devatas follow only brahma vidya, since they are not fit for doing karmakanda and upasana. Let them not do karmakanda and upasana, let them have only jnana. Therefore, madhvadishu asambhava sutra, the Purva Pakshi is refuted. Then the next Purva Paksha is given in Sutra 32. And that is what all the Devata words reveal only inert natural forces. There is no Aditya Devata. There is only an inert physical sun. As Swamiji mentioned earlier, some of the modern students of Vedanta, they don't accept heaven and Naraka and all that thing, because there is no Pramana. Paurushaya Pramana. For them, heaven means what? All Bhuloka alone is heaven. When everything is all fine, it is called heaven. And when anything goes wrong and all, when even one's own house is considered one Naraka. Thus, devatas are also not there, and they are all people who love symbolism. Even the Mahabharata Yuddha, they do not accept. They say the Pandavas refers to the noble thoughts, and Kauravas, they refer to the evil thoughts. So symbolism is okay, but it should not refute the literal meaning. That is our contention. We accept Pandavas, even though with symbolic meaning, as an additional meaning, it is okay. Similarly, devatas can be interpreted symbolically, but it does not mean that devatas are not there. Advaitins, they accept Swargaloka as a separate loka. Symbolic interpretation is called Arthavada. This we have mentioned earlier also. Symbolic interpretation is called Arthavada. Therefore, the Purvamimamsakas, they argue that there is no Surya Devata at all, but there is only the inert physical sun. It is symbolized as a living being. It is only inert actually. It is symbolized as a living being. Because Surya, etc. are inert, they cannot gain self-knowledge. And what is our, this is what Purvamimamsaka contends. And what is our answer? Shankaracharya says, even though devata words like Aditya, Chandra, Agni, all those things have got a laukika artha, there is a Shastriya artha also. While studying the Shastras, we should take the Shastriya artha only for words, such words, and not the laukika artha. Laukika artha means what? Common meaning. A lot of common meaning. And Shastriya artha means what? Scriptural meaning. The meaning as given in the scriptures. The laukika artha of Aditya is inert sun. That's correct. But the Shastriya artha of the word Aditya is not inert sun, but it is the Adhishtana Devata, the intelligence principle or the Chetana Tattvam behind the Surya Shariram. Therefore, visible sun becomes body of the invisible intelligent Surya Devata. Just as our body is also visible and inert only, but behind the inert body, there is an intelligent Jiva. So when someone dies, what normally people say? The grandpa has passed away. Poitar. In Tamil, they call him Poitar. So the body is very much there in the hall. And where did he go? When we say that grandpa has gone, that means not the Shariram is gone, but behind every Shariram, there is this Chetana Tattvam. Shariram is Achetanam. Behind the Achetana Shariram, there is a Chetana Jiva. Similarly, Vedanta accepts behind Achetana Surya Mandalam, inert Surya Mandalam, there is a Chetana Devata, Surya Devata. So also behind the Achetana Chandra Mandalam, there is a Chetana Chandra Devata. And actually when we do Sandhyavandanam, I quoted earlier also, Mitrasya Charshani Drita Sravo Devasya Sanasim Satyam Chitrasravastamam. Asatya Naraja Savarna Vartamanoni Veshayan Namartam Martyancha Hiranyaya Nasavita Rate Nadevo Yadi Bhupana Vipashyanne Vipashyanne. What a beautiful mantra. The sun rises. How he rises? Seeing the world. Bhuvana Vipashyanne. Seeing the world, the sun rises. Bhuvana Vipashyanne. Therefore, the sun means what? Not the solar disk, but the solar devata. Solar disk, how it can see. What is the pramana for this? Pashyan, Vipashyan, that Pashyan word, seeing, is not possible for the inert sun. Therefore, Veda must refer to what? The Chetana Surya Devata only. Therefore, behind the Achetana Shariram, there is a Chetana Jivaha. Similarly, behind the Achetana Surya Mandalam, there is a Chetana Surya Devata. And when you say sir, Shariram, we should mention Jiva. And when we say Surya, we should say Devata. Similarly, Chandra Mandalam has got Chandra Devata. Agni has got Agni Devata. So the Chetana part is Devata, the Shariram part is inert. Similarly, in the early morning, the normally people say, Samudravasane Devi Parvatastana Mandale Vishnu Patni Namastubhyam Padasparsham Kshamasvame. When we pray, we are praying to whom? Not to the inert Prithivi. It is only the Shariram. Behind the Shariram, there is the Chetana Prithivi Devata. And we are asking her Padasparsham Kshamasva. Therefore, Veda talks about all the Devatas speaking, seeing, all that it talks about. So that is the Pramanam for the Chetana Tattva. Therefore, Shankaracharya, he quotes Adityaham Upajagama. Veda says the sun approached. How he can approach? Or if we take Sandhyavandana Mantra also, Adityaham Bhuvana Vipashyan Yati. All these Vedic statements, they talk about Chetana Devatas only and not inert ones. Therefore, Chetana Tvat, because of the Chetanam, they are Chetanam. Acharya said, Jyotishi Bhavat in the previous sutra, and we say Devatasu Bhavat. Chetanat means, and Purupakshi says again, Achetana Jyotishi, but we say Chetana Devatas. That is why we worship all the Panjabhutas also. So we approach the entire creation as Chetanam only. Before taking, you know, bath, we worship the waters or the river. When you go to the river or if you want to take bath, we worship the waters. Water is inert, but the worship goes to the what? To the Varuna Devata. And if you worship that the inert one, will there be any prayojanam at all? By worshipping a stone which is inert, is there any prayojanam? The very fact that Devata, Veda prescribes prayer to all these indicates what? We never pray to inert forces of nature at all. But the Adhishtana Devatas behind every inert force. Therefore, the Purvapakshi is wrong. That is, Devatas have got Adhikara. With this, Purvapakshi negation is over. Purvapakshi says they didn't have Adhikara. Now, we are negating it. They have Adhikara. But Shankaracharya does an elaboration of the Vedic evidence to prove that Devatas have got Adhikara. And here he gives Vedic evidence to prove that Devatas have got embodiment, Shariram. And the difference between the previous analysis and the present analysis, what? Previously he talked of Devata gaining knowledge. Quoting from Chandogya Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we saw all those mantras. Now on, the evidence is going to be indirect, that Devatas have got embodiment, they have got a body, and therefore they can gain knowledge. They can attend classes and gain knowledge. And why should he be so emphatic? He's not leaving. Why is he so emphatic? Because the Purva Mimamsakas are so emphatic. They are so emphatic. They say there is no person called Indra. Then what about Indra Swarupam? According to Purva Mimamsaka, Indra Swarupam, Indra has got only Shabda Swarupam and not Artha Swarupam. It is a unique concept of the Purva Mimamsakas. Normally, when I say Rama, for example, not only there is a word Rama, there is also correspondingly a person, Rama. So whenever you write the word Rama in your mind, it is not the Shabda Swarupam that you write, but it is the Artha Swarupam. This is the common parlance. Whenever Shabda, there is Shabda, there is an Artha. And they always go together. And they are two separate entities. But when we say Vagartha Vivasampriktaum, Vagartha Pratipattayem, Jagata Pitaro Vande, Parvati Parameshwara. The Vak and Artha are always in pairs. But the Purva Mimamsaka says, in the case of Devatas only, there is a unique law. What is that? There are only Vak Rupa. They are only of the form of only Shabdas. There is no corresponding object Artha. Therefore, Indra Swarupam Kim? Shabda Swarupam. Only mere Shabda it is, word. Since they are very, very vehement in establishing this, Shankaracharya wants to incidentally also establish it vehemently almost. So devatanam vigrahatvam vartate, which is elaborately discussed now. There is body for the devatas. And all the scriptures describe the forms of devatas. Mantra, Arthavada, Vedic descriptions, Itihasas, Purana, they all devata swarupam. That is why we have the description in the Dhyana Shloka also. Every Dhyana Shloka describes the devata's physical form. We often quote Vajrahastaha Purandaraha. Purandaraha means Indra. And Vajrahastaha means he is holding Vajrayuda, Vajram in his hands. If Indra is to hold an Ayuda, Ayuda means a weapon, in his hands, then he must have the body and the limbs. Otherwise, how can he hold a weapon? Here the Purva Mimamsaka raises an objection. He says, I am aware of Vedic statements. Always he says, he knows everything and objects to everything. But I don't accept them as facts. He will put everything in some way or the other. I know all these statements, but I don't accept them as facts. I don't accept them as valid means of knowledge. I don't negate the statements, but I negate the validity of those statements. Who says Purva Mimamsaka says? So some of the rules of the Purva Mimamsakas we should know before taking up this subject. The Purva Mimamsaka is a person who specializes the ritualistic portion of Vedas and who does not accept the Vedantic portion of the Vedas. All rituals he accepts. Vedanta he doesn't. And they divide the Vedas into two types of statements. One is the statement of commandments or injunctions. They call Vidivakyani. It's all full of imperative moods, all of them. I've already mentioned this earlier. And the second types of statements are the statements of description, where there are no injunctions at all. Descriptions of heaven, devatas, all those things, they come under this kind of category. So they are called Arthavada Vakyani. So Vidhi Vakyani and Arthavada Vakyani. And the Purva Mimamsaka says, Vidhi Vakyas only should be taken as Pramanam, the valid source of knowledge. Because Veda is serious about Vidhi Vakyas alone. All statements of descriptions, Veda is not at all serious about them. Who says? Purva Mimamsaka says. Tatparyam nasti, he says. Since Veda is not serious about descriptive statements, they should not be taken as valid source of knowledge. They are apramana vakyani. Therefore, vidhi vakyani and arthavada vakyani are there. And vidhi vakyani means they are pramana vakyani, they are pramanam. Arthavada vakyani, they are apramana vakyani. They are not valid statements. And how did the Purva Mimamsaka discover Veda is serious about Vidivakyam? He gives an interesting logic also for that. Only Vidivakyas produce some benefit. Statement of injunctions, they have got utility. Because when I follow them, either I get Dukkha Nivritti or Sukha Prapti. I gain either happiness or I can also get rid of Sukham, Dukkham. Therefore, vidivyakyanam evam prayojanam vartate. That is prayojanam only for vidivyakyas. And Veda must be serious about only the utility of vakyas. Whereas arthavada vakyas do not produce any benefit at all. I don't get any benefit by getting description of anything. For example, I hear about a distant star. Lot of research has gone to find this distant star. So what? What benefit I have about it? Based on this, his question is, all descriptions of devatas come under Vidhi or Arthavada Vakyas. He say that they do not belong to Vidhi Vakyam. They say, since they are all aprayojanam and not valid source of knowledge, therefore, the Purva Mimamsaka's contention is what? Vidhi Vakyas are saprayojanam, with prayojanam, so pramanyam. Because they have utility, they are pramanas. And Arthavada Vakyas are aprayojanam and so apraman. This is the basic approach of the Purva Mimamsaka. And this we have to remember. Now, based on this, he says, all description of devatas, for example, Vajrahastaha, Purandaraha, we already saw, they come under Arthavada Vakyas. They are only Arthavada, since injunctions are not involved there, they are only descriptions, so they should be taken as not valid statement according to Purvapaksha. And therefore, Indra's embodiment should not be taken as serious at all. And such statements are non-valid statements. They are not facts. Since they do not come under Vidivakyam, so the devatas need not study Vedanta. And the relevant, the Purva Mimamsa Sutra that we learned was what? Already we saw it. Amna Yasyam Kriyar Tatvad. We already saw the sutras earlier. Anarthakyam Atadattana. Vidinatu Eka Vakyatvad. Sutyartem Vidina Vidinam Siho. We saw all the sutras earlier. So we studied this in the Brihadaranyaka also, first chapter, third section. The analysis of this topic also. Therefore, we can refer to the Pramana Vicharam in Brihadaranyaka also if you are interested. So what is our answer now? We want to establish statements of description also can be valid source of knowledge. The Purva Mimamsaka says statements of injections only are valid source of knowledge. Vedantins argue, who says that utility is criterion for validity of knowledge? Who says utility is the criterion? The Purva Mimamsaka says statement of descriptions is not valid source of knowledge because they don't have utility. They take the utility as the criterion for validity of the statement. Utility is not a criterion at all for validity of the knowledge. I see, for example, a star in the sky. What utility this has? The perception is a fact because the eyes are valid means of knowledge, but I don't see any utility from this knowledge. Therefore, the knowledge is useful, although it may not have the immediate use from that knowledge. Just because it has no utility, I cannot say eye has revealed a false knowledge. There are so many instances. Some are not useful, some are useful. We cannot say Arthavada is useless because there is no utility from that knowledge. Utility is the criterion for validity. How do you know that the knowledge is not erroneous or right knowledge? Vedantin says, utility is not. So leave it. Let us not worry about it. Whether there is utility there or not, let us not worry about it. But there are two criteria for any source of knowledge. Vedantin argues from that angle. And he says one is called anadigatatvam or apurvata. We have seen this apurvata earlier. It must be a knowledge which is not attained, cannot be attained by any other source of knowledge. We have seen this upakramopasamharav abhyaso purvata palam apurvata or anadigatatvam. For example, the eyes are accepted as valid source of knowledge with respect to colors and forms, especially colors. And the knowledge that we gather by eyes cannot be got by any other means, any other source of knowledge, like ears, nose. Ears, nose, anumana, even inference, they cannot give the source of that knowledge, what eye gives you, the eyes give. Therefore, we say the first criterion is anadigatatvam. This is condition number one. And anadigatatvam is uniqueness actually. It is a source of knowledge which cannot be gained through any other means of knowledge. And the second criterion is abhaditatvam, that which is not negated, which is unnegatable. It should not be negated by other means of knowledge. For example, in the example we have given, rajusarpa, this rope snake, or even dream objects. The rope snake is known through eyes only, using your eyes. Even though it is known through the eyes only, it is negated later. Hence, it is false source of knowledge. Therefore, to be true source of knowledge, it shouldn't be negated also. Therefore, anadigatatvam is one condition and abhaditatvam is another condition. These are the two criteria for any source of knowledge to be valid. This is the argument of the Vedanta. So So this is the Vedantic definition of Vedanta, be justified, not the other things that the Purva Mimamsaka was arguing. So once we have understood this definition from this angle, now we have to come to what? Arthavada Vakyan. Because that was the dispute. Vidhi Vakyani, he said that only valid source of knowledge. Arthavada Vakyas are not. Now with this outlook, now let us come to the Vidhi Arthavada Vakyani. So based on this, in the Vedanta, we have to also divide Arthavada Vakyas into several types. That analysis we will do tomorrow. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakatilina Seya Parasamaheshwara Sri Krishnatma Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti.